Daryl coming up in just a moment. However, speaking of teachers, we have one on the line. I don't think she's here to talk to Mitch. Heather in Sheffield Lake. Hello.
Hello, Ken. It is Heather. I am a kindergarten teacher in Sheffield Lake. I cannot help Mitch. I'm married. However,
Do you have any friends? Hold on. You got any friends?
Of course I have friends. I'll see what I can do.
All right. Mitchie, all right. Go ahead, Heather.
Well, I just wanted to tell you that I have a whole classroom of kindergarten Browns fans. I am a lifelong fan. I am a season ticket holder. My classroom door is decorated with our mascot, the Cardinal, dressed in Browns gear. I actually added a little tear to his eye for our performances lately.
Oh, jeez.
And I would be able to take that tear away if you could just guarantee a win for me and my kids.
It's that easy, Ken. It's that easy. They're all sitting there at the edge of their seats.
They're literally walking in right now.
Phones.
I held on as long as I could.
Come on.
You have kids walking into the classroom right now?
Yeah. Guys, do you want Ken to guarantee a win for the Cleveland Browns?
Yeah.
Louder.
Yeah.
Louder.
Yes! There's only two of them. They're just coming in right now.
Oh, my God.
She won't even let the other kids into school if you don't guarantee the win.
I mean, you have to. This is the first thing that has made me have to call in because I felt so moved. I mean, the kids need to hear it. You can't do this to us.
Oh, God.
You
Heather,
guarantee a win. You don't. Nobody else. You can. We need to hear it right now. Five-year-olds.
Let's go. I can't turn down the key.
Let's go.
I guarantee a win. I guarantee a win. I guarantee they're going to beat the Raiders. I guarantee they're going to beat the Raiders. I can't say no.
That's all it took.
Heather, thank you.
Let's go.
Thank you for the call.
Season ticket holder. They gave them enough PTO, they'd be able to go to Vegas too, but you know, the teachers. They don't get all that time.
What the hell?
Let's go.
Turn the music back on. Oh, God. It was the stress of Sunday is already here.
I mean, you just put it all on the line.
Got something else that'll stress you out?
Daryl, who joined us right now, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store.
Daryl, we just got a guarantee from Ken Carmen that the Browns are going to Vegas on business trip, and they are coming home with a victory, evening up their record on the year. Daryl, how do you like that?
As long as Ken's not promising free food to people like I made the fatal mistake of doing earlier this year.
Oh, well.
Oh, boy.
Hey, that worked out great for us. We got a
first
round bye.
If they lose, all you had to do was go ahead and give up a burger. I let down a classroom full of children. And my sons will look at all those kids and go, yeah, get used to it.
Yeah. I was about to say, I think your kids probably could vouch for.
The best thing is, Daryl thought it and didn't want to say it until I did. All right, Daryl, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. This has been a terrible week, man. Yeah. A terrible week. We got,
which is why I wanted to take it easy on you this morning.
Nah, to hell with it. Let's go after it.
Like, Daryl, I'm not Danny Shelton. I'm not jumping on the pile.
Well, let me ask you this. I think that it's Amari. It's not like he gets a pass or whatever like that. Like him going after the media in his own way. I'm like, you know what? Because I'm like, hey, I'm a media member, and here
He's
I am.
He's done it a couple of times here this year.
Ooh. Okay. I didn't realize all that. However, Daryl, like, he's got his own thing, and I'm going, man, if Jed Wills said the same thing, you couldn't buy a line on this station. Right. People would want to get him out of town on the first thing smoking. But Amari Cooper says it. Well, he draws a lot of water in this town.
He's a hero.
People love Amari Cooper. I like Amari Cooper a whole bunch. I have a great deal of respect, so he kind of makes me go, okay. Like, I know I asked him about his fingernails in a joking fashion before, but am I doing everything I need to do to make sure that I know what's going on with professional football and the Cleveland Browns before I go wailing away with questions?
I don't know what. I kind of get where he's coming from. And look, it is a two-way street. Hey, we spend the majority of our time criticizing them, so it is a two-way street if they want to toss it back at us. So I understand where he's coming from. The issue is, though, is they're losing. They're 1-2.
They better not lose Sunday. I just guaranteed it to a room full of children.
You are going to crush the kids if the Browns don't win on Sunday, Ken. It's going to be all your fault.
Damn
if
it.
More passes get dropped and nobody can block anybody and Deshaun Watson has no idea what he's doing on the field while taking no accountability for having no idea what he's doing on the field.
Daryl. Okay. All right. Here we go. Let's hear it.
Where we are.
Let it go. Let it out, man. Let him have it.
Hold on, Daryl. So
We're in week four, and we've reached must-win territory because if they lose on Sunday, first of all, the poor children, right? I mean, that's first and foremost. The poor kids, if they lose on Sunday, that tier is going to be stuck
I'm gonna
to
text
that cardinal
Rodney. I'm gonna text
for a
that,
long time.
I'm going to text that call to Rodney is what I'm going to do and go, this ain't on you, it's on me.
As if there isn't enough pressure going to Vegas this weekend for this team. But in all seriousness, right? I mean, not much has gone right for them, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Defensively, you know, they've had opportunities to create turnovers and either penalties or they, you know, haven't been able to catch football, which, again, I remind folks, if DBs could catch footballs, they'd be wide receivers. But like when you look at the schedule, they can't afford to go 1-3. They have to win. They have to come home 2-2 because based on what I've seen from Washington early in the season, that's not the get right game that I thought it was going to be all of a sudden. And then we know how tough the trip to Philadelphia against the Eagles is going to be. So they really need to come home 2-2, Ken. There's no question about it. So I get why you're guaranteeing victories to the little ones there.
They're all
right. You got a lot on your shoulders right now. I can feel the angst
it
in you this morning.
It is such a burden. It is such...
But you've got broad shoulders. You can carry it.
The toll that this takes on me right now. You should see my face. I'm quite ragged.
Is
right
it
now.
Red from just being rubbed nonstop
yes.
because you're so frustrated?
Yes. Yes. I didn't scream at them last Sunday. I know that they're better than this, and I know
well,
that they're
we
not going to
think they're better.
Well,
than this.
That's true. That's a fair point. But I got to tell you, Daryl, like I see the offense, and in my haste, in my desperation, I want them to go back to the old Stefanski offense. I know that ain't going to happen. They're going to see
Joe
this
Flacco.
Thing through.
I miss Joe Flacco.
See, I don't want to say it. I ain't going to say
I
it because I don't
Ken,
I don't mean
I
it.
Daryl, I don't care.
I thought he was starting to turn into a rotten jack-o'-lantern. I think we got the very best out of him while we could get it out of him, and it just went to hell at just the right time for everybody involved. Right. I got nothing against Joe. I got nothing against the guy.
I hear you. I miss that style of play, though. That was the funnest 5 weeks around this football team I have had in a very long time. I'd say going back to the 2007 Derek Anderson bunch, okay? The offense was fun to watch. Amari Cooper wasn't grumpy and, you know, firing back at the media for asking him dumb questions. He had a smile on his face talking about energy multipliers and having faith. Amari doesn't sound like a guy that has a lot of faith right now. And that's glaring to me.
So let me hold on.
The other thing, too, is you didn't need the backup quarterback to do the pregame pep talks.
Boy, that's a hell of a point you just made there. Can I stop you and go with that for a second? He did call him an energy multiplier. Do you think he's... I can only do this. Do you think he's tired of answering questions about Deshaun Watson and that's why we heard it?
Yeah, I do. I really do. And you know what? I think Deshaun screwed up. Everybody's trying to cover for him, including the offensive coordinator and the head coach. And yeah, I don't believe that was a decoy. I think Deshaun legit messed that play up. And he's messed up a couple of other plays too. Yes, the line protection has not been great. All right. And I made the joke on Monday about, you know, guys looking to the left and to the right, seeing guys and choosing not to block anybody.
It's a charge of the light brigade. Go ahead.
Yeah. Like, hey, the guy you're looking for is over there. Have at it. You know, you've got linemen that are playing hurt, that are banged up, right? I don't know that Juan Jones is in the greatest of shape right now with the knee injury. I questioned Kevin Stefanski this week if they brought Jack Conklin and Jed Wills back too early, because there's a big part of me that says they should have just put those guys on IR and said, see you in week 5, take your time, instead of, you know, going through the process. And I'm not accusing anyone of anything. I'm just, you know, I had the easiest job in the world, second guessing. But I think that those are legitimate questions to ask, considering the current state of that offensive line. When you have to have your all-pro left guard play left tackle because you're out of bodies, and you got to send limping DeJuan Jones back out there after he just took out Wyatt Teller on the field goal unit. Like, I just, you know, it is what it is, Ken. But I don't think that Deshaun's decision-making has been as crisp in the first three games. It can be better. It's not all Deshaun's fault, but it's not all the offensive line's fault either. It's not all the wide receiver's fault. I get worried when I'm hearing people talking about going into week four, they need to be on the same page. Well, what was the offseason? I thought that's what you guys worked on in the offseason with this new offense.
They did go on vacation together.
Well, yeah, right? I mean, they did all this work, so why aren't you guys on the same page? You know, to Ken Dorsey, you were brought in to elevate Deshaun and elevate this offense, not have it look like the 1999, 2016, and 2017 Browns. I've seen expansion teams run better offenses than what I've seen from this team in the first three games. And that's frustrating, you know, because they have the talent, they have the ability. But you're not averaging 17 points a game. You're ranked 30th in passing yardage. You're in the lower third in overall offense. Like, that's unacceptable to me. You made all these changes this offseason, and it's like I'm walking out there watching Deshaun Kizer.
There's a nice how do you do. Go ahead there, Tone.
All right, Daryl, for Deshaun Watson, and obviously it's clear where you stand on his culpability on that 4th-and-1, and Ken Dorsey talked yesterday. Overall, like, where are you on the glimmer of hope scale with when it comes to Watson? Do you think, all right, we've knocked the rust out over three games. The coaching staff probably has a better indication of what he can do and what maybe more importantly he can't do. Is there the thought that, all right, now maybe we can get things righted?
My Marty Schottenheimer, there's a Gleam Men scale right now on a 1 to 10 is probably at a 4. Oh, I'm just as nervous as Ken. I really am.
Well, what have you seen so far? Three games, what have you seen so far from Deshaun?
Well, on a positive side, the escapability is returning, right? But he then said this week, I'm not a running back. They brought me here to throw the football, not run the football. And I think he's trying to escape that stigma that's what he is, that he's the Lamar Jackson type. But by the way, Lamar's got two MVPs. There's nothing wrong with being in the same category as Lamar Jackson and doing what Lamar does. And I also think part of that's like self-preservation because of the broken shoulder and some of the other, you know, bumps and bruises he's had throughout his career. But outside of that, look, they put these choice routes in. I don't know. I'm not in the room. I don't know what the playbook looks like. I don't know if the receivers are running the right routes and if they're where they're supposed to be, when they're supposed to be there and things like that. So that's why, to Amari's point, to the point some other guys have made this week, it's easy to just to put all the blame on Deshaun here. We really don't know what has actually happened on any given play. We can all hit pause on the all 22 there and start circling bodies of guys that are wide open, but we don't know what the reads and the progressions are there. So but I'm digging deep there, you know what I'm saying, to come up with a defense. At some point, the rust has to be knocked off. At some point, this has to be an explosive offense. And you're playing a quarterback last year that you won a shootout against. You escaped Indianapolis 39-38. Minshew completes just 15 passes in that game, but he throws for 300 yards. Your guy hasn't thrown for 200 this year. He hasn't thrown for 300 ever in a Browns uniform. So I get a little concerned going into this game. If Minshew turns this into a shootout, can the Browns hang? Can they keep up, right? Myles Garrett's banged up. So I'm not anticipating he's going to have the type of takeover game he had against the Colts, right? They don't win that game without Myles Garrett and what he was able to do in that game. So, you know, it's a must win. I'm nervous, but I wish I could sit here and tell you guys 10 out of 10, I'm confident in Deshaun. 10 out of 10, I'm confident in the offense. 10 out of 10, I'm confident that the defense is going to get all done. I'm not there yet. And maybe I'll get there for the Washington game if they go out to Vegas and they do what I feel they should do, and that is beat not a very good Raiders team. But, hey, I didn't think very much of the New York Football Giants last week, and we know how that one turned out.
Daryl, we thank you very much for the time. All the best to you and yours. God bless.
I'm rooting for you and the kids this weekend, Ken. I sincerely am. I hope this turns out well for the youngsters, because you put your – this is why you are a man of the people. You put yourself on the line for the children.
Yeah. Well,
you immediately regret that decision, don't you?
No, I got it. I did. I could have turned him down. I did what I did with my own volition. There
have
we
a
go.
Great weekend, guys.
Daryl, thank you very much. The dangerous Daryl Ryder. That's Daryl with us just moments ago. I mean, boy, that's a hell of a theory. Because you go back, what was it? Was it week one where Amari walked back to the huddle and he was shaking his head? And people were going, was that because of his own performance or was that because of the I have no idea.
Amari Cooper's been here how many years?
Going on 3.
Yeah.
We've had nothing like this, right? We've had none of these instances. So a lot of it does align with the fact that he's very frustrated. Well, and I mean, he admitted it, that he does not have a guaranteed contract beyond this year. He has nothing more coming his way. And so I do wonder if we are misassigning right now his frustrations. We're all assuming, oh, what's going on in the locker room?
Yeah, but
what's happening? They're 1-2. It's like, I don't know, maybe he just really wishes he had a contract, and that if he gets injured this year, that's it.
That's it.
If something bad happens to him this year, that's it. No more money.
He's also not going
to
get a contract if him and the quarterback aren't on the same page.
That's true.
Or if he has to continue to show his skin on the issues of being questioned about the quarterback's performance.
What I'll tell you about Amari is this, in my experience with him, it's always been respect. It's not like he's been Mr. Jovial or anything like that. He's going to make you work for it. I respect Amari greatly. Usually you have to dig and dig and dig. And in the now handful of times I've interviewed him, which one, obviously, we talked fingernails and all the other stuff. You usually have to dig and dig and dig, and then something might open him up. Or you are just going to get an answer, and that's it. It's going to be a quick scenario. Yes, it's a business moment for him. So it's not like all of a sudden it's like, whoa, we were best friends before, and now all of a sudden you have... No, he's always made us work for it. So what he says, it comes with a lot of gravitas, man. I can respect that. I can respect that. Like, it's never been like Eddie Haskell or Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. It's always been what you see is what you get, and he's not just going to sit there and yuck it up with you just to get good press. So that's why some of the things, like when he got like trash talked about him on the way out of Dallas, and when there was trash talk about him on the way out of Oakland to Dallas, like, that's some of the things I went earlier. Well, just because he wouldn't sit there and yuck it up with you doesn't mean that he is bad or has a bad attitude about things. I think he's obviously, his record speaks for itself. His play over the last decade has spoke for itself. He's got 7 1,000-yard seasons. He's been a very good wide receiver over his course of time. But he's always been a guy that is kind of, he's been careful to tell the truth when he means the truth, and careful where he knows. He went to Alabama. These guys know how to sidestep questions. They know. They all know it. And when he says that, it's easy to say, why don't you guys ask some better questions? Why don't you guys? He knows what people say about the media. He knows what people say about the writers.
Yeah.
And hell, I'm a media member, and I'm over here going, yeah, you know what? It makes me self-examine some things.
Well, the whole thing, I mean, listen, first of all, the whole thing in a post-game press conference especially, the whole thing is intended for us to be asking questions out of a place of ignorance. We don't know. We weren't in the locker room all day.
Well, that's a good point.
We don't know what play was called. We don't know if the wide receiver ran the right route. It's not like we're looking at the All-22, and even if we had the All-22 right after a game, 99% of media would not know how to diagnose it anyway, and then you still can't get past the problem of what was the play called. So we're always going to be asking stupid questions. The important thing is to get the players to help provide any perspective, any clarity they can, and that's why yesterday we were still asking questions about the fourth and one because the team did not give a decisive answer on it. Deshaun Watson said one thing. Aiken said another. Ken Dorsey said another. Like, we heard so many different variations of this, and that's why I come back to Deshaun Watson could have just said, hey, it's on me, and we would have moved on. That would have been the end of it.
And with that, and as I say this, I'm starting to get tired of it too, guys. Like, I know I made the guarantee to the kids, and there's people who want to have fun with that, and we hope we'll have fun with that. There's also a point here where with the internet, with Twitter especially, if you want to be told the news you want to be told, you will find it about that play or play of your favorite players in general. This week especially, now I can't speak for you. I know a lot of coaches over who have passed through Cleveland and have gone on to other places. And I got to tell you, there has been at least half a dozen where they have sent me these tweets of video breakdowns and goes, no, this person is looking for retweets. This is garbage. That's garbage. This is garbage. And so I'm looking at it going, okay, that might make sense. That might make sense. I mean, these are people that apply themselves as coaches or whatever, or film people. And I've had several, no, absolutely not. What you see is what you get, and this ain't good. So it's like, well, what am I supposed to take from it? Do they have an axe to grind when they're sending me this stuff? Some do, maybe. Not this week, but some have had axes to grind in the past. What do I take really from that? So you don't even know what to believe anymore when you see it. And there's the freeze frames and the film stuff and all the other things from it. I mean, we got to the point, I mean, it's part of this is Friday. It's like, hey, man, you better move on from it. Fans will talk about it, but man, you need a win like you need air. Because if you go to 1-3, I mean, Grant Delpit just told you what it was yesterday. Boy, you need a win. You got to get this thing back to 2-2 just so we can calm down a little bit and to make the kids over there on the far, far west side happy. Don't be letting down the kids. Mike in Cleveland. Mike, hello.
Hey, good morning, Ken.
Hi.
Man, you know what? It seems like to me this organization is not being run right, you know? First of all, you got the GM that's making deals in front of guys' faces when they should be getting a raise and something. That's what happened with Baker Mayfield. You know, he found out they were going after Watson. That's why they had to give him a godfather offer that he couldn't refuse because Baker said, I'm out of here.
You know, I thought about that. Hold on. I thought about that many times, and I don't mean to sit there and dig up bodies, but here we go. What if they would have done to him what they did to David Njoku and Kareem Hunt? I know it's a quarterback, so you could just say, well, he's a quarterback and it's different. But let me dig in there. What if they would have just done exactly what they've done to other players? Go, you want to trade? Yeah. Okay. You can want to trade all you want. What if they would have done that to Baker Mayfield? What do you think? What do you think would have happened?
It would have been great for the locker room. I mean, it would have been really bad vibe during the whole season if that had happened.
It would have been a bad vibe. You're right about that. But at the same time, like somebody asked me, like, did they ever see anything? Like, how could they not see anything like this happening? Go, if they ever saw anything like this happening, where we're grinding each other over one play on a fourth down when the guy hasn't even played that well to begin with, they would have never made that move. They thought in full faith and confidence that none of this would ever happen. None of the booing, none of it. That he would play, like all the things that were said when they first got him, eventually in America we move on, he would play well, and off we go. And it hasn't happened.
Well, Ken, why is the GM just like, hey, just like the Judy case, you know, you give Judy all that money and Amari felt that I'm the one that should have got the money. I'm the one that got the 1,000 yards last year and helped you guys get to the playoffs, you know, and then it's just embarrassing the way it's being ran. And the head coach don't play the guys in preseason. Then you get all these injuries during the first three games. What's the difference? You might as well play them during the preseason. At least you would have knew what was going on as far as injuries and plays and speed and timing and all that stuff. I mean, he's spoiling, making these guys soft, man.
I wouldn't have played him during preseason because of the whole offensive line thing. Turns out he had to play him like that anyway because the guys got hurt. Going back to what it is, I hate to use this term, Mike, and thank you very much for the call because you're going to hate what I'm about to say. So I just, you know, you got to listen to this. I mean, I'm pretty desperate. Does it not come off desperate now? 1-2? Like, Jerry Jeudy is the least of our problems right now. Anybody else feel that way?
I don't think he's a problem.
No, certainly not. Least of or not a problem, I should say. I mean, you give up the money for Jerry Jeudy. It's like, well, you're a little bit desperate here. We're chasing now. We're chasing. Because if this thing goes belly up, you're getting fired. Now, you could have all the who's the analytics guru that went on The Athletic, or what were you listening to? Who said that?
That Sheil Kapadia.
Okay, that's exactly. That said that if Barry and Stefanski were to get fired, they'd be hired the next day or something like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That might carry a lot of weight to it. Not saying it doesn't. But they're in a mode where they have to pay this thing off. And you've gone out and drafted wide receivers who've done nothing for you. You've traded for wide receivers and given up assets in other ways. You've had to pay those guys. There's a lot of this stuff that goes, man, you've had to do a lot of things in free agency that you would love to have done in the draft, but you haven't been able to do it. You had to go out and get Quentin Jefferson, who's a fine player. Fine player. Your second round pick is still on the exempt list. Same position.
Whatever happened to him, by the way?
I don't know. Rashee Rice can play all he wants, but, you know, it's not a tit for tat. I just don't understand why one is still on the exempt list. And we, if you want to suspend. I don't know what's going on. We're still up in the air here. I don't think I'm wrong to ask that. Am I wrong to ask that, Owen? I don't think so. So I don't know what the hell's going on here in the league. But still, did he put himself in that situation? A lot of ways, yes. So we have to deal with that. And that still falls on the general manager who made the choice. 216-474-0092. So, yeah, there's a lot of things that if they lose games, all of a sudden you start, boy, this kind of reeks of desperation here. If you go out and win, no one pays any attention to it. Winning covers everything. That's why you better win on Sunday. Video is out of the school teacher that called in that wanted me to guarantee her children in the classroom a guarantee win, and I did it.
I feel acquiesced. Good moment. I think it was a breakthrough for Kenny psychologically. Very cathartic.
It was hard for me to say no to grown men. I can do it. Kids, I can't say no to. Couldn't say no to the kiddos. Had to do it. And it was done. And so now Sunday will be a bone-chilling day for me all day long. Ultimately, they get what they win. They won. All this week, why aren't you being meaner? Why aren't you being meaner? Be mean. Get mean with them. Like, well, they could always turn it around to some level. They're only 1-2. They could change things really quickly. I don't want to be that mean yet. It's not all lost yet. They go out there and they lose. Oh, my God. I'm going to be getting harassed just like I was in 2019. So if they lose, depending on how it goes, there's a much better chance for me to start screaming than there was before. And if they win, we win, and I'm right. I got a very strong feeling they're going to win. I got to go with it. I guarantee that they're going to win. Guarantee it. Once you go through the door, you never go back. My guarantees are like replacing Deshaun Watson at quarterback. Once you go through that door, you can never go back. What's done is done. So we'll find out. Speaking of done is done, the Guardians are not done playing for spots in this postseason. However, things got a little murky last night. Yankees won. So they are, by the way, John Sterling back in the booth. Yankees won.
I know, he had retired.
What's retirement radio?
And then he saw they were going to maybe make a playoff run.
Yankees beat right Baltimore. Yankees beat Baltimore. And so now that basically it's a two-game change with three to go. So even if you win today, it could possibly be, all right, you're getting the 2 seed and that's it. So right now you got the 2 seed. I'll take the 2 seed. Owen has brought this up. The dry run possibilities for the Cleveland Guardians against the Houston Astros, which, I mean, now you got to take a look at everybody. I thought that Detroit, I was like, man, this whole month I've been going, boy, Detroit's going to give people problems in the future. I'm going, they might. Mitch brought up, they give people problems right now. They're looking to make the playoffs here. This is tough. So what do we want to see out of this coming up this weekend, buddy? What do we want to see? Do they need to go for the gusto
here's
here?
The thing. Vote.
Or do we just go, hey, see, you know what? The odds aren't that good.
Though,
let's take her easy and get our work in and call it a day.
Already what Vogt said a few days ago did not jive with the setup for the pitching rotation the rest of the way. He's like, oh, we are gonna treat every game like life or death, and we're going to go all out. And then you saw the rotation, and you're like, well, no, they're not. They are really not taking these games as seriously as they could. That doesn't mean they don't want to win the games, obviously. And what they don't want to fall into the trap of is letting their guard down at a crucial time. See, this is something that I think that the Dodgers, since we've gotten to this new era of playoffs where there is the three-game wild card series as opposed to the one game. Like, there's more time now. If you secure a bye, there's more time off. And because the Guardians pretty much, and it's not over, but because we pretty much know they're the two seed, that means it's going to be another how many days of, you know,
it'll be next Saturday. They would play next Saturday, which I believe is the 5th.
And that's just a long time to not play normal baseball, which is what I kind of think they're in the situation of.
They will have simulated games, but we all know about simulations. It's never the real thing.
Yeah.
And Zach Meisel had posted, Twitter reactions brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Meisel had posted that Tanner Bibee and Matthew Boyd, after he had posted what the pitching matchups are going to be here over the next couple of days, he said Tanner Bibee and Matthew Boyd will throw simulated games until the ALDS. Alex Cobb should soon be ready to throw a sim game as well. There's an opener ahead of Gavin Williams on Sunday, so Williams can try to try out pitching in relief. I beg your pardon. So Williams can try out pitching in relief in case that's his role in October. So tonight, it should be Joey Cantillo or an opener. I don't know if it's yet confirmed.
Yeah, they haven't confirmed
but
either
I would be going with Joey Cantillo there. Saturday, Ben Lively or Ben Deadly. And then Sunday, he writes an opener or Gavin Williams. Looks like it probably is an opener, then Gavin Williams. So it's not the most, it's not like they're going for the gusto of everything here, but
it's a little disappointing, but they would need to sweep the Astros this weekend and have the Yankees lose 2 of 3 to the Pirates. And that's just...
it's hard to see that happening.
A lot to ask. Not only do you have to hold up your... you could go out and sweep the Astros and then the Yankees win 2 games and it doesn't matter that you put all that extra work into it. When you are treating this... I'm glad that the Gavin Williams thing is going with the opener and we're seeing what he can do as maybe a long reliever or even a guy that does 2 innings out of the bullpen and get him ready for that role.
Yeah.
That's the dry run stuff that I'm looking
for. And just
for,
what's,
you know?
What's hard about this is that almost assuredly, you're not going to have a situation where the Guardians are not only hitting their stride, and they've played better baseball obviously recently, but to the point where, hey, here's the Guardians working their way up to a crescendo, playing their best baseball. Look at them, and they're going to pick up right where they left off 3 days later, 2 days later with the playoff. It's just not going to work out that way. So what variation of the Guardians that we see in the ALDS, I think it's almost impossible to predict.
So you're not saying like they're not going to be able to like repeat the intensity or something, are you?
I think it's hard for every baseball. I think that like
I think it's natural for them. I think it's natural. We're going to be in a postseason game. The place is going to be filled up.
That's the very debate that's been had in baseball with the new format is teams try to recreate it. Some have, some haven't. Like, it's just kind of a crapshoot. And you might just mistake them playing worse baseball for they couldn't recreate it. No, it's you're playing against better teams. It's the playoffs. It's just the way that this model is, the way that the formula is, it's every manager is trying to keep their guys from letting their guard down at the wrong time. It's not easy.
I understand that, but I also think that's a bit of an overrated aspect of it. I think that naturally, not a lot of these guys have been there. I think naturally they're going to know exactly that this is a heightened moment here. You're going to have to dig down, and you're playing better teams. You're playing for the ultimate prize. It's been a long season. It's time to really ratchet it up. I don't think that there's going to be any worry about getting in.
100% of playoff teams are in that mode, but then every year there are teams afterwards that say that layoff killed us. That the layoff just absolutely killed us. Well, so it's hard to tell is what I'm saying.
Maybe, but I just don't think it's the emotional reasons or anything. My fear of a layoff is that they're just out of sync. There's something to baseball where every day this is why we argue about guys batting out of lineups and batting in different spots in lineups, because you get comfortable. And baseball is a game of routine where the very best get into a fine routine and they make their whole days around it. Go ahead.
That's true, but this week has already been an out of sync week. They were off Monday. They played a two game set, Tuesday, Wednesday, off Thursday, now back for Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and you know, who knows who will actually be on the field over the weekend. You know, it's probably not, is this the time where they give Jose extra rest? Does he come in and just in like a pitch hitting role, things like that.
Well, I think that's why. I mean, I keep referencing the Dodgers, but the Dodgers, you know, they got eliminated last year early. Yeah. They've won 100 plus games in 2019, 2021, 2022, 2023, eliminated in their first playoff series in 3 of those years. So it just goes to show you, like, the Dodgers, pound for pound, way more talent than us. And they had guys that have been there before. It just shows you how different playoff baseball is. It's really hard. It would really suck if we came out and for whatever reason did not look like the Guardians team that we had seen the last few weeks, but it's anybody's guess at this point.